Welcome to the Love Sport Podcast. This is Paul, your host, looking mainly at the Super Bowl on Monday, the Kansas City Chiefs versus the San Francisco 49ers. This is the Love Sport Podcast. We'll look at other sports as well, but Super Bowl being the main focus. Super Bowl on Monday, what a game we had. San Francisco 49ers, one of the great franchises, obviously, in the history of the NFL, up against the Kansas City Chiefs, whose recent history is extremely hard to question at all. We've got Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy. Fuck, I hate that. I really hate that term. I hate the fact that he gets called a game manager. He's just a really good quarterback up against one of the greatest of all time already in Patrick Mahomes. It is hard to believe. It is 7 years. They just don't seem to miss playoffs. The combination of Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes has already broken all sorts of playoff records. That is unequivocal. That is, you know, beyond Montana and Rice, who I still consider the greatest quarterback and tight end combination. You look at Purdy, and he's got Kittle. And George Kittle's gone largely under the radar here. He's an absolutely fabulous tight end themselves. So it's going to be great there. I would have to say, I'm not going to tell you who I'm tipping right now, but in terms of matchups and so forth, I don't think any of us really saw this coming. I think we saw San Fran there. There's no doubt in the world. But halfway through the season, Kansas City, they were really struggling. And it had to be that they had to win games on the road. And they won against the Bills, and then they've beaten the heavily favourite Baltimore. We will talk another time about Lamar Jackson, you know, winning another MVP. Is he respected as he should be? I don't think so. People are saying he has to get to the Super Bowl, he has to do this, that, and the other. But in all fairness, what top-end quarterback doesn't have to get to the Super Bowl to be well-received or then win one as well? If you're a card collector, and I collect cards and so forth as well, so if you've ever listened to my podcasts, you know that I collect all different sporting cards and graded cards and sell them at markets and different things like that as well. It would be a good time today or tomorrow to sell Brock Purdy. He wins the Super Bowl. His cards won't go up that much at the moment. They're already quite high. If he loses, his cards are going down. So if you're actually looking at buying and selling, I would certainly look at selling Brock Purdy for some profits today and tomorrow. Patrick Mahomes, on the other hand, he wins another Super Bowl, and for the next few weeks, his cards are going to go up and up, and then football season will be largely forgotten for a while. So in saying that, probably if you can get some Mahomes cards relatively cheap at the moment, that would be my suggestion. It's just a fantastic Super Bowl in terms of the intrigue involved. San Francisco 49 roster, to me, looks a more complete roster than Kansas City Chiefs, but the Kansas City Chiefs have the X factor of Patrick Mahomes, who does things, as we all know, that not many people have actually done before. So really looking forward to seeing how that goes. Look, I think the thing is, the 49ers will have to get off to a good start. I think they're going to find it very hard to chase down Kansas City if Kansas City get the lead, for the reason of Patrick Mahomes, his ability to manage a game. And obviously we've got two of the, you know, we've got a coach who you just could not dislike. He was loved at the Philly, at the Eagles. It didn't get them the Super Bowl, unfortunately. He's absolutely loved by everyone in the NFL. So it's just going to be, can San Francisco get off to a good lead? I think if they can get over 10-point lead, they're going to be really, really hard to chase down. I think they're going to find it much harder to chase Kansas City. So that start, that first half is going to be so important. I don't think this will be a high-scoring game. A lot of people, are talking about the firepower of the 49ers and also, you know, what Patrick Mahomes could potentially do. But they haven't scored. They haven't been scoring high-level scores at all this year. Their Kansas City Chiefs defense has been absolutely outstanding. 49ers, another really good defensive team as well. So I think it's going to be a low-scoring Super Bowl, and it's going to come down to the decisions. So, you know, for me, it's the experience of Patrick Mahomes that's going to really come to play. Look, the Super Bowl show halftime. Usher, look, fantastic at his time. I'm just a little bit, I've got to be honest with you, when halftime comes, I generally go and cook some food or do something along those lines. The Super Bowl in Australia as well, a lot of people take Monday off for the Super Bowl. A lot of people are at different pubs and venues. And when people say, oh, you know, basically, you know, no one follows the NFL in Australia, they really have a myopic kind of view there, because so many people do. And it's just amazing. So I'm actually going to be watching it from home this year, which is a little bit different for me. Normally I like watching it with other people, but I just really want to enjoy it without having to explain it to people or having to line up for alcohol and food and different things. So this year I'm just going to watch it at home. So let's have a look at the Chiefs. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce are going to be the main focal points of everyone looking at what Kansas City Chief can do. Are there other players who can step up? Absolutely. We know that Rashee Rice has been absolutely outstanding for them this year as a rookie. I think Marquise Valdes-Scantling has started to show a fair bit in the postseason. And that's, look, that's all that really counts, right, at that point in time. We know about the drops throughout the year that the Kansas City Chiefs have had. And their wide receivers, look, for professionals, some of the drop balls, to be honest, have been really embarrassing for the Chiefs, but this is the ability now for the Chiefs to really show, what they can do in that regards. It's only going to take a good couple catches outside. You know, we know Kelce's going to be double-teamed. We know he's going to be doing some blocking and so forth. But I think, seriously, there will be someone who steps up, and there always is. Look, I'm confident that the Chiefs will find some other avenues. The Kelce option is going to be the check down option and also the game breaker as well. But in saying that, the roster for Kansas City with their wide receiver options, they actually have a lot of options. It's going to just take one of them to step up. You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the running back's going to have a lot of plays. I think they're really going to, if they can, you know, basically sustain a running game, that's going to open up the throwing options. And that seems to have been the case in the second half of the season. But in terms of, players like Sky Moore, Pacheco's really started to do well at running back as well. They have a lot more options than people may have said before. I really think that Kadarius Toney can still step up as well. So they have a lot of options. Unfortunately, a lot of their wide receiving options, as we've said before, have just dropped some pivotal balls at different times of the year. Their defense, though, if we turn to that as well, just such a good defense. I think that's where, if they get a lead, Thompson and Taylor, and we've got Snead and those kind of guys there, Justin Reed, they're going to be really hard to get past, and it's going to take some really special play, which I do believe Brock Purdy can do. But, you know, their defensive ends and their safeties and so forth, they've really, really kept Kansas City Chiefs season alive. So I think that their defense is good enough to hold the 49ers if they get off to a good start. If they don't get off to a good start, do the Kansas City Chiefs have the ability to come back? Absolutely. But it does worry me. Their defensive frailties really do worry me, for sure and certain. So, you know, like the 49ers, I do think, I said it earlier, I think really have I think they have a more varied team. I think they have the linebackers who can try and get to Mahomes. Mahomes' ability to stay in that pocket and then scramble if he needs to is going to be vital, because they're going to come for him. Will the 49ers have options? Oh, my goodness. Ayuk, obviously, Purdy's found him a number of times. George Kittle, as we said before. Juwan Jennings is a really good range, you know. Obviously, haven't even spoken about Deebo Samuel yet. I think they have more reliable options, and their game breaker, which we haven't spoken about at all, and he's my chance. If the 49ers win, I think this man could certainly be a non-quarterback MVP. It has to be one of the great pickups in recent years by any team. Christian McCaffrey, I mean, you can't call him a running back. You can't call him a wide receiver, really. He is a dual threat. Yes, his running game is elite, but so is his receiving yards. And for me, he is the X factor that the 49ers have outside. You know, obviously, with the Kansas City Chiefs, their X factor is Mahomes with Kelce, whereas I think the 49ers' X factor is Christian McCaffrey, and I think he has a massive chance to win the MVP. He does have good backup at running back with Elijah Mitchell, Mason, and so forth as well, but he is going to be their key focus. If they can, basically get the their running game going with McCaffrey, it then again opens up, you know, Deebo Samuel and so forth with the passing game. So it's a sensational-looking Super Bowl in that regards. There is the ability for both teams to put on massive scores here, but both of the defenses are so, so good that I just think it's going to be a really, really tight game. You know, in saying that, it'll probably end up being 49-42 and everyone will laugh, but that's fine. McCaffrey, yeah. Look, I think if you're going to have a non-quarterback win the MVP, Travis Kelce certainly is going to garner a lot of attention if he has a big game and the Kansas City Chiefs win. On the other side, as we said, McCaffrey it would be the person I would be choosing for MVP. But, you know, you get three or four, touchdowns to a quarterback, then, you know, certainly the quarterback's always going to be the first pick there as well. Overall, as I said, I think the Kansas City Chiefs have the absolute X factor in Patrick Mahomes. I think the 49ers have the better overall team. I think the Chiefs will get out to a start, and I think they're going to win it by 3. 26-23, Kansas City Chiefs over 49ers. Two teams in red. We haven't even touched on Taylor Swift, so to speak. Obviously, if she's there, she'll garner a lot of attention. I just have to say to people, chill out. If she's on TV 6 or 7 times, who cares? Celebrities have always been on TV for any sport. I'm not being woke. I'm not going broke. I'm just saying, like, honestly, is it really going to affect your day? And if it does, maybe have a look at yourself and go, whoopee-doo, they're showing someone on the screen. It's in between plays anyway. So who cares? I don't want to say who you'd rather see without their top on, Jason Kelce or Taylor Swift, because I'm too old, I'm a dad, and I don't want to go down that path. But I hope Jason, if Jason has his top off and he's there, then certainly, you know, Kansas City Chiefs are going to win. But I'd rather the focus on the teams and the people outside. But for those getting upset about it, you know, let's take it down a notch. Who cares in the scheme of the things? There are so many other things in the world going on. So NRL and AFL, The NRL and AFL, yes. So NRL off to Vegas to try and garner some attention there. Now, people think that this is a weird move and it's never going to work in the US. But you only have to get a small percentage of fans in the US watching, and the income coming from TV and so forth over the years is really going to help the NRL. You hear the strange thing that I'm hearing about this is when you see interviews. I want to go back for one moment, though. Anyone watching the Super Bowl, just have a bloody good time with your friends on Monday. Just really enjoy the whole event. If you love the halftime and you love the commercials, enjoy all of it. I mean, I've got to admit, once the game's done, I will definitely go and watch the highlights or the Super Bowl commercials. They're always a bit of fun. But we'll go back. The NRL in Las Vegas. It's really weird to hear the players talking about it because they're not talking about the games like it's a premiership year and so forth, or a premiership kind of games being played for. They're talking about, oh, it's going to be a great event, can't wait to go, like it's a trip for them. I just worry about the mindset of some of those teams. You know what? Look, I'm not going to say talk about gambling or anything, but if those teams coming back from Vegas, you'd want to not tip them in your tipping competition a week after. I think the players' minds might be elsewhere. I'm sure they're going to be well and truly looked after when they're in Vegas. But just go through and make your own mind up. Go and listen to some of the interviews that are going down from players who are going over to play in Vegas. And they're talking about, the trip of a lifetime and this, that, and the other. Well, I get that. But you're also playing for your competition points for the season. So this is a really weird mindset. Do I think it's the right move? People are saying, it's the wrong move. NRL's never going to take off in America. They don't need it to take off. They need a certain amount of people watching and going, hey, these guys don't wear pads. These guys hit hard. Yeah, I might watch that on ESPN5 or whatever. Because even a small percentage of a $300-odd million population watching it is going to bring in additional revenue. So I think it's a smart move from a sport like the NRL. I wouldn't think it'd be a smart move for a sport like the AFL because it's just such a different game and such a hard one to understand. Whereas it wouldn't be as hard if someone's watching the NRL to explain the rules compared to a game of AFL. NRL is a really good TV product. It's easy to see. The cameras can focus on the play and then easily zoom out wide. Where the AFL, watching it on TV, if you're not a fanatic, is really hard to tell what's going on when you're trying to explain it to people who aren't into the game at this point in time. So, yeah, my comment about the NRL is more about just the players' perceptions. I think it's a really smart move, as I said, to play it in Vegas for the reasons I've just mentioned. But for the players, yeah, just watch the interviews, please. And I think you'll find it is a little bit weird how they're kind of approaching the game. But nevertheless, hey, AFL preseason, I just think it's ridiculous. Like the preseason hitouts and stuff, I couldn't really care. There's not much you can take out of it. The only thing I worry about is players getting injured. There are little bits to take out of a preseason. But the main concerns for me, and I'm a Richmond supporter, but the main concerns for me for following any team in the AFL preseason is the injuries. I don't think you can take much out of a game. I think if a player's way out of form, you can more read into that than seeing a player who's in form and you go, oh, look, he looks good. He could kick 3 or 4 goals here. I'm more worried about a player who's trying to fight for their place in the team who's not getting touches in the preseason. So, you know, we're not far off both seasons kicking off. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that they're playing these games kind of in line with the NRL over in Vegas and not calling that the opening round. So Richmond playing Gold Coast is not considered the opening round fixture. Let's just be honest. I mean, what the fudge does that mean? If you're playing in one of the first weeks, that's opening round. Just cut the bull crap. Don't treat us like we're idiots. You're going up against the NRL because you're choosing to. You want to get your names and your press coverage and so forth. Totally get that. But just call that the opening round. So you change your opening round. Richmond Carlton's not the opening game of the year when Richmond's playing Gold Coast a week before. I just don't get it. Look, it's just my small gripe. As a Richmond supporter as well, I think Gold Coast are doing really well with their kind of social media coverage of playing off Dimmer against Richmond. I won't be certainly booing Dimmer, but I certainly won't be clapping him either. He's had his time at the club. I feel he lied to us in his last season that he was worn out and then goes to the Gold Coast. You know, thank you for your time. Appreciated it. It was amazing. Now you're at another club. Cool. You do you. But he'll, you know, Gold Coast have beaten us in some close games over the years, some memorable, or not for good reasons, losses to the Gold Coast in last kicks and so forth. It's happened twice, last kicks of games, three times, last kicks and games have beaten us. But as far as a rivalry goes, come on, Gold Coast, Richmond, it's not a rivalry. Not a rivalry until you're playing multiple grand finals and so forth, people, and we're completely different states as well. Look, I do want to cover the teams that I think in both sports. I don't want to cover the teams that I think will win. What I would like to say is teams outside of, you know, potentially ones that you're not quite thinking of. I think the Roosters and Cowboys have the kind of teams and the kind of following and ability to win at home that I think certainly warrant the another chance. Same with Manly. I really like what they're doing in terms of their lineup and their backup players and the squad and so forth as well. So we're talking outside of the teams who are expected to win. I think Manly, the Cowboys and Roosters certainly would be ones that you would be keeping a close eye on. There is a team in the AFL, I feel exactly the same way, that not many people will be tipping to do that much this year. And if you want to look at gambling odds as a guide, because they don't give away their money for free, I think Geelong. I really think they had a really shocking year last year after winning the grand final. But when you've got Hawkins and when you've got Jeremy Cameron up front, there are so many goals there. And you've still got Patrick Dangerfield in the middle. They've got a really good and quite young defense as well. They would be my team to watch out for, a team to rebound in 2024. I'd be really keeping a close eye on Geelong. I think for other teams that had disappointing seasons, I still think the Western Bulldogs, if they can click, have such a nice rounded squad, and they're going to try a couple of different things this year. So they're the two teams that people might not be considering will have a run at things. So in the NRL, I said Roosters, North Queensland, and obviously I said Manly as well. I have no love for those teams. I just think that people won't be considering them. I think they'll have a really good run at it there. And in the AFL, as I said, I think Geelong will be that team, and then potentially Western Bulldogs as well. So they're the teams. Just not saying they will win. I'm saying they're teams that if you, at the end of the season they're holding up the premiership trophies, I would not be surprised. Okay, so over to the cricket. West Indies have had a look much better summer than what many of us thought. Winning that test match has really done some good stuff for them. But the one day matches and the T20 and so forth, it just shows the lack of depth in West Indian cricket. I really hope that winning that test and having a, you know, the one day isn't a T20 and a test in Australia, I really hope that it galvanises the West Indies. What people forget is that the West Indies are multiple countries. And in sports like football or soccer, whatever you want to call it, those countries actually compete for themselves at the World Cup. In Olympics, these countries represent themselves. In the cricket, they're trying to combine, as they always have for many years, into a team and to galvanise and so forth. So I think that's something that people forget. World cricket needs the West Indies playing well. And it was just good to see them win that test. Even though I'm an Australian cricket supporter, you also want the best for the sport. The Big Bash was an amazing result for the Brisbane Heat, winning their second Big Bash title. I think the Big Bash this year, crowds were up. There was some fantastic cricket played. And I think it's all about timing. They didn't have as many games as they had in previous years, so it kind of left that taste. Like, if you don't go to a home game early on, or if you don't go to a home game, you're going to miss out. So the whole FOMO thing, I think, really worked. I think the timing of most of the games being in the school holidays, I think, also really worked well. And I think the Big Bash doesn't want to change for change sake. I'm keep going round and round here because I want to go back to the NRL and AFL. I think in the NRL, the style of game that it has doesn't change the rules all the time. I think some of the rule changes they have had in the past have been really fantastic. Whereas I think in the AFL, it's almost changing the rules every year for changing the rules' sake, and it's not helping the game. The whole standing on the mark thing and
the 50s that were for encroaching, not encroaching. Just stop changing the rules. And the goal reviews, until we have the technology for it, just get rid of them. Like, honestly, just leave it to the goal umpires. We can live and die by decisions in a game. What we can't live with is this absolutely rancid technology that's, oh my goodness, it's so embarrassingly out of date. It's a sport that's hard to have that technology in it. So, you know, unless it's going to be really, really accurate, just get rid of it. Let's go over to the world game, and specifically, let's have a look at two things. One thing is the A-League is really struggling at the moment, struggling for crowds, struggling for recognition. And the women's, whatever we're going to call it now, I don't know, is it women's A-League? I don't even know. I do apologise. It is getting really good crowds again. It's off the back of the Matildas. And even when the Socceroos are doing well at the moment, the Matildas have captured the hearts of Australian football fans, and it's crossing over into some really nice crowds for the women's national competition, which is really amazing to see. I'm not going to bash the A-League. I was a Brisbane Roar supporter for many, many years, like a member for many years. I used to buy 3 jerseys and 5 memberships a year for my family. My family stopped going, and so for 2 years I was buying 5 memberships with the kids just going, nope, don't want to go. Now, kids will tell you what's popular. They would go to the NBL with me. They would go to the AFL. They would go to NRL. They would sometimes come to the cricket. They did not want to go to the A-League. I think that says a lot. I want you to think about that. It just bored them, okay? And you want to come at me and say, I'm not a supporter of the world game, not a supporter of local football. I reported on football in Brisbane and Gold Coast for many years. I was a member of the Brisbane Roar, and almost all my mates had dropped out from following them or even going to random games. And I certainly am not going to waste my money anymore. You move the Brisbane Roar to Redcliffe, then you move them to back to Suncorp for some games. They don't have a home base. We have owners that we wouldn't even be able to, if we saw them in a crowd or right next to us, we wouldn't even know they were the Brisbane Roar supporters. I think for a lot of clubs, go local, do what Adelaide have done, Adelaide United, and get a lot of youth talent from South Australia. I've always said that with Brisbane, you want to galvanise more people, get it to be a really good Brisbane or Queensland-based team in terms of getting players locally. You know, if there's a marquee that's amazing, like a Thomas Broich, obviously, no one knew he was going to be the player he was. And take those, you know, calculated risks and grab those players. But, you know, the A-League for me is really struggling, and I just can't see myself returning to it. And you can say I'm not a football lover, and I've got to be honest, I couldn't give a shit. But let's go to the Premier League, where, regardless of what people say, at the moment it is a 5-team chase for the title. Liverpool holding onto top. Manchester City, with a game in hand, could go ahead of them. Arsenal, no matter what people say, still playing really good football. And then you've got the surprise packets, more surprise packet in Villa, my team, with Tottenham. It looks very much on the coefficient that there will be 5 places for England, English teams in the Champions League in 2025. So massive chance for teams like Villa and Tottenham to do that. And this weekend, it is a chance for Manchester United to really close the gaps. They play Aston Villa this weekend. If Villa can get any kind of result on Monday morning against Man United, then Man United at the moment are 8 points off Villa. If Villa get a win, that would be 11 points ahead of United, in who are currently in 6th. If United win, Villa will have a 5-point gap, so it's starting to close up. But it just shows what an amazing league we're in at the moment. Liverpool on 51, Man City 49, Arsenal 49, Villa 46, Tottenham 44, and in 6th we have Man United on 38 points. So it's such a huge game for Villa and United, because if it's a draw, it's still that 8-point gap and there'd be 14 games to go. If Villa win, they go 11 points clear of United, and a massive goal difference as well. I mean, at the moment, it's a 20-goal difference in goal difference between Man United and Villa. And that is something that's going to come into play, because at the moment, Tottenham and Villa, Tottenham's 15 goals difference better off than Man United, and 14 goals better off than West Ham, who are behind them.
So the only teams you could really see, you'd have to cut it off at ninth. Newcastle currently 11 points off Tottenham. I don't think Wolves or Chelsea or anyone like that can come back and get a European spot. But it's just such a great title race. Realistically, I think it's a three-horse race for the top with Liverpool, City and Arsenal. Now that De Bruyne is back, they are just such a completely different team. Rodri's back. Haaland, who's still not playing well at the moment, doesn't need a lot of touches, but not playing to the kind of way we would think. But we're really coming into the second half of the year, and Man City are getting their best players back. I don't see Arsenal nor Liverpool getting better than they are now. But can they hold off City? I think it is City's to lose now. I really, really do. But let's hope it's a title chase for as long as it possibly be. And then anything can happen from there. But look, it's been a really brilliant Premier League so far. Down near the bottom, Sheffield United playing some of the worst football you could possibly imagine. And they are minus 40 goals in goal difference. Then Burnley, so they're on 10. Burnley on 13. You would think those two are down. But Everton are on 19 points, obviously the 10-point deduction and potentially further deduction. Nottingham Forest also have the potential to lose points this year. So it's that third spot where Everton, Luton, Forest, Brentford, and you'd have to pull Crystal Palace into this at this point, because Crystal Palace are only 5 points clear of relegation, and they actually have less wins than Everton, because obviously Everton's got the 10 points deduction there, and they only have one more win they have equal wins with Brentford, but one more win than Forest and Luton. So it's an amazing year. Look, the disappointing teams this year, you would have to say at the moment, obviously Chelsea, just purely on the amount of money they've spent this year. Newcastle at the moment, I mean, there are a lot of injuries, and injuries do come into play. You would have to say Brighton are playing really good football at times and in really horrendous football at times. So, but for me, you'd have to say Newcastle last year, that they got into the Champions League position. This year, they were knocked out of the Champions League. They're starting to play some better football, but have they left their run too late? And Chelsea, with just the amount of money they've spent, they've had 10 losses. So, you know, when you put this in perspective, they can win, but they've had 10 losses. And that's just unbelievable. I mean, Newcastle have had 10 losses as well, but 10 losses in 23 games, minus one goal difference, you'd have to say Chelsea are the very disappointing team this year. Remarkable season so far, and let's just hope it continues to go on. In the Bundesliga at the moment, Bayer Leverkusen are 2 points ahead of Bayern Munich, and then Stuttgart and Dortmund. Then it's Stuttgart and Dortmund 10 points off them. So it looks like a two-horse race, but I don't think many people who don't follow the Bundesliga closely would have picked Bayer Leverkusen to be there. They have not lost this season. They're 16 wins and 4 draws. Bayern Munich, everyone is saying, is having a bad season. 20 games in, they've only had 2 losses. Plus 40 goal difference and plus 38 goal difference for Leverkusen. That is out of this world. Plus 40 goal difference is plus 2 every game, almost, for Leverkusen and Munich. And they're already pulled well and truly clear of Stuttgart and Dortmund. I can't see Dortmund catching them at all. They've played an extra game as well. So that's the Bundesliga in a heartbeat there. Serie A, it's Inter on top by 4 points. They've got a game in hand as well, ahead of Juve, AC Milan, and Atalanta having a really good season in fourth there in the Champions League position. But it's so tight, because between 10th is Torino on 32 and Atlanta on 39 points in fourth. That's how close it is in that regard. And a 4-point differential between Inter and Juve, but Inter have the game in hand, and an unbelievable plus 41 goal difference there as well in 22 games. So you would think it was Inter's to lose. The surprise pack has been the La Liga, where we have Real Madrid on top, but the surprise packet, Girona, or Girona, they're only 2 points behind after 23 games. That's enough form to tell you they are right there. So Real Madrid on top, Girona second, and then Barcelona in third. They're 6 points behind Girona. So what an effort it's been. They've only had one loss for the season. They're on plus 27 goal difference, 2 points behind Real Madrid. So they are the fairy tale. For them to even make the Champions League, and I believe they certainly will, they're 11 points clear of Athletic. Athletic Club, it's an unbelievable performance for them to even make the Champions League, but they are pushing for the title, and it would be the fairy tale, to put it in perspective, would be the, you know, similar to, I've just gone completely blank. It would be completely similar to Leicester's run. Oh my goodness, I'm having an absolute Barry Crocker here. So, you know, they're some of the top leagues in the world, and I'm just really excited about where that is at this point in time for Girona. I think they are the fairy tale of European football right now. We'll give it a wrap. At this point in time, you've probably heard my dulcet tones for too long. If you are, your team's playing this weekend, if as long as they're not Man United, because I'm a Villa supporter, I hope your team goes well. If you're a Super Bowl supporter of, or a NFL supporter of 49ers or Kansas City Chiefs, enjoy the ride. I wish my Dolphins were there. Yours in football. This is the Love Sport Podcast. I'm Paul. You can get me at Paul_football on X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it. Love Sport Podcast on Facebook and Twitter as well. Peace out.